attitude that I am supposed to adopt. It's about the proper attitude that we are supposed to adopt as we grow in grace and as we become more like Jesus and less like ourselves. It's something that is very difficult. It's the most difficult assignment you will ever face in your life as a child of God. And it involves attitude. All of you have different personalities. But we tend to like or dislike one another based on our attitude. And everybody's different. Now, Anna Mae is quite different from Jean, but I like their attitude. Shirley is quite different from Sister Berry, but I like their attitude. Brother Shipley is quite different from Paul Petty, but I like their attitude. Now, whenever Christ gets inside you, He works through His Word, which you're looking at on this screen, to change your way of thinking, your way of looking at life, and most of all, to change your relationship and attitude toward God. Because, quite frankly, when we come into this world, our attitude leaves a great deal to be desired. So he starts off by saying, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." Now, I've been to churches, seen churches on television, haven't been to too many of them, where they jump around all over the place and just sing and dance and shout and holler. And they say, "Rejoice, rejoice, 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 praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, hallelujah, hallelujah, praise God, praise God, praise God." And they just go on through the whole program. Hallelujah, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I'm rejoicing, I'm rejoicing, I'm happy, I'm rejoicing, I'm rejoicing. That's all on the outside. But how about on the inside? This isn't talking about a hallelujah chorus. It isn't talking about screaming all the time and running around and telling people how much you love Jesus. Sure, you ought to let people know you love Jesus, and certainly tell them you love Him. Then ask your own self if you really do. But this isn't talking about an exuberant, bubbling personality. Believe me, I've seen enough of them, and I've watched what happened in their lives. This is an internal rejoicing. Now, I have learned a lot about this scripture from the language itself, from the Greek words it's written in. But I've also learned it by watching it in operation in people. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Now, first time I ever read this, I didn't have any idea what it meant. And then later on, I thought I knew what it meant. And I discovered I was wrong. It wasn't what I thought it meant. That's one of the reasons I went to the seminary in Little Rock, because I wanted to know what these original words meant when they were written down by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit by these men like Paul. So this word moderation is an interesting word. What it means is to be satisfied without receiving your just due. To be satisfied without receiving your just due. Now look at the verse above it. It tells you to rejoice in the Lord, rejoice in the Lord, and again I say rejoice. It means, the word literally means to forbear, and to continue to endure, and to be satisfied when it doesn't seem that you're getting your just due. Now, look at the verse after it. The Lord is at hand. Now, I've heard preachers use that and say, Yes, sir, we need to rejoice in the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The coming of the Lord is at hand. I bow before God, stand before you and tell you, that is not what that is talking about at all. It's talking about the presence of the Lord at hand in your life right now. That's the context. He's at hand for Anna Mae. He's at hand for Kenneth. He's at hand for all of you. He's here. He's a part of your life. Now, so you take the first part above it that tells you to rejoice, continue to rejoice, be happy in the Lord. He says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. He said, the Lord's right here with you. He says, he's here with you. How many times have you heard someone say, well, I just used to worship the Lord and I used to try to follow him, but he took my baby. My baby was born dead and God did it. How many times you heard that? Seems like they got a raw deal, doesn't it? And how many times have you heard someone at a funeral say, I just don't know why God allowed this to happen. He was such a nice young man. And he was faithful to God. And he was saved and he was baptized and he worked in the church. Why did God allow him to be killed in this horrible accident? Now I'm talking about the people that say that. They don't think the fellow got a fair shake. They don't think God dealt with him properly. Working at the nursing home for the last 30 years has helped me a lot. I've gotten to know a lot of older people that have gone through life, suffered all the tragedies in it, suffered loss of husbands, loss of wives, loss of children, loss of home, loss of rights, loss of privacy. And there would be a tendency, and listen, I'm telling you, some of them, they blame it on God. They say, why am I here in this nursing home? And they just hard, contentious people to live with. You see, this word means to be satisfied, moderation, with less than your proper due. Let's take Vida Robinson. She just happens to be the one we put on the prayer request list. That's a sweet lady. She never seems to blame God for anything. She just accepts her fate. No matter what happens, she just seems to accept her fate. She doesn't blame God for anything. That's worshiping God, rejoicing in God, rejoicing in Christ, understanding that God knows what's best. And even though it doesn't seem like that God's treating you right, because nothing seems to be going right, your children aren't doing what they want. Your husband, your wife, your situation around you, your friends, nobody seems to be doing what's right. Oh, poor little old me, Lord. Why are you letting this happen to me? Now that's an attitude that is absolutely wrong. And it is not an attitude that is rejoicing in the Lord. It is not an attitude that where you're just not satisfied with God's dealing with you. Well, I'm satisfied with mine. You say, well, Brother Michael Murray, if I was in your shoes, I'd be satisfied too. Would you? What do you know about my life? What do you know about me? Would you be satisfied? I am. Because I understand the Lord's right here with me. Now, why is this important? Be known to all men. They see you every day. The world sees you. And if you don't complain and grumble and groan and moan about your fate in life and about why is this happening to me, and you don't look toward God as, how could you let this happen? Why isn't this something that's, why is it happening? Don't you think that people will see that you have a very strong faith in God and that no matter what happens, you're not going to blame God? Just give God time to work something out. We want the instant solution. He says, be careful for nothing. He says, don't be over anxious, because that's not moderation. He said, be careful for nothing. It means don't be over anxious about this. What's going to happen with this? What's going to happen with that? He says, don't do that. He said, let your moderation be known. Let people know you have confidence in God. He said, hey, he's right there with you. Don't you trust him? The problem that I have is the same problem that you have. You say, who are you talking to? Daryl Shipley, Thelma Maxwell, John Mills, Brent Hughes, everybody sitting here, so you won't think I'm singling you out. I'm talking to every one of you, and I'm talking to myself. That is our problem. We don't have enough confidence in the Lord, and we get over anxious, and we tend to blame God or people around us for our own dysfunctional attitudes. If people see that you have confidence in God, don't you think that shows? Now, John Mills has confidence in God. He doesn't say very much, but I can tell he does. Now, if you ask John Mills would say, no, he needs to have more confidence in God. That's exactly the attitude we're supposed to have. I don't think John Mills blames God for anything. I think when you start trying to question God, and when you let your lack of moderation, willing to accept your state that you're in, I think that that's when you don't show people that you're very much of a Christian. Because you're not showing confidence in the Lord, even though he's right there with you. You want a boost from some other outside source. He says, be careful for nothing. He says, don't be over anxious about anything. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Well, if I told you that I had mastered this, I would be a bald-faced liar. I have not mastered this. But by the grace of God, at least, finally, at age 73, I understand what these scriptures mean, and I know what I'm supposed to do. And now you know. That's why Paul told Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Yeah, I'm old. Been here a long time. Repetitious. Can't remember much of anything. But that doesn't matter. Because I've learned some things along the way, and I'm sharing them with you. And I'm telling you the truth. Now, here's what God says I want you to do. You want to let your moderation be known to all men, and you want them to look at your life. Then be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. That means in supplication of presenting before God all your troubles, all your problems, all your woes, all your anxieties. Now get this. Get this. And not expecting God to do what you think ought to be done. And not expecting God to do what you think ought to be done. Let me tell you what you do when you do that. We laugh at these people that in the old biblical times would go out and cut down a tree, carve out an image out of it, and set it up, and have a hard time making it where it would stand up on its own, or where they would cast metal or carve images out of rocks and put them up and worship them. We laugh at that. We think it's funny. I believe God thinks it's funny when we try to mold and shape and make God into the God that fits what we think he ought to be and what we think he ought to do, and we're trying to worship a God that we want to mold and shape into something that we can relate to like ourselves. But we should just accept God the way he is. And when we pray and ask him for something, just cast it aside and say, well, that's done. And then your poor old dog dies. And you don't blame God. And you start trying to make excuses. Well, he was old. Well, don't blame God for anything. Just accept it and go on. So you got a good husband. Thank God. So you got a bad husband. Thank God. A lot of women never get a husband. Just thank God for what you've got. And then people will say, you know, that's a good woman. I can see she loves the Lord. Because she continues to serve him in great adversity. So you've lost your wife. So you don't blame God. You just go ahead. And people say, there's a good man. He lost his wife. So you're divorced. Well, don't worry. Just pray. Ask God's will in your life. And believe he heard you. Believe he heard you. Because if he heard you, and he always does, he's going to do something for you that's the best possible thing that could be done. That's what moderation is. It took me a long time to learn this. But I know what those words mean. I've looked them all up, and I've got the context, and I have God's Spirit in my heart, and I know that what I'm telling you about this is true. You don't raise 7 children and not have a lot of problems. And besides that, the congregation's always looking at the preacher and expecting his kids to be perfect. Some of the most ungodly men who ever lived came out of godly families. Some of the best people who ever walked this earth, the greatest Christians, came out of ungodly families. And some preachers' kids, they go wild. But whose fault is it? Well, it's the preacher's. Okay. Now let's back up 2 giant steps. What am I doing now? What am I doing? What did I just do?
Oh, Lord, I raised those kids and Lord,
I'm doing the very thing that I told you just a few minutes ago didn't show my moderation. So let me tell you what I do now. I pray about them, and then I pray about them, and then I pray about them. You say, well, you ought to just pray once. No, God says continue to pray, and I do. And God's going to take care of it. You say, well, I just can't believe that. Well, I do. And so I just continue, get up, come over here on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, do a funeral here and there. Now, my body's old, it's worn out, hurts all the time. I'm not complaining at all. I just thank God I can still walk. And if I have to end up in a wheelchair in a nursing home, I'll just thank God I'm still alive. And if I die, oh, that'll be wonderful, because I'll get an early rapture. Now, all of this has been talking about attitude, 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 attitude. Rejoice, rejoice in the Lord. Okay, you just do what he said, or try to do, or keep working. You have to work at this all your life. You just do what he said in verses 4 through 6. Now, here's what will happen. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Okay. Now that I've told you verses 4 through 6, what you need to do to rejoice in the Lord all the time. Now that I've told you that and showed it to you, and I hope I've proved it to you. You think it's going to work all the time? Oh, no. No, 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 no. What is moderation? You're going to fall off the wagon. Here I am presenting this to you. I may be in deep, dark depression at 7 o'clock tonight over something that's happened during the day. I may be, okay. I'm carnal in the flesh. So are you. So what do you do? You just remember this scripture. Climb back on the wagon. Rejoice in the Lord. Ask God to forgive you for falling off the wagon. You say, well, how many times can I fall off the wagon and be forgiven? Oh, about 643 trillion. 0.7. You say, well, that sounds like a pretty hard way of life. It's the greatest way of life I've ever found. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I thank God for his word. And I asked God a long time ago, and I continually ask God every night, Once in a while I may forget, I'll be so tired, but I always thank God for giving me wisdom, understanding, and discernment in His Scripture. Those are things God will do. They're not these great spiritual gifts where you speak in tongues. They're just something you want to understand God's Word. I thank Him for what He's given me and ask Him to give me more. And then I pray earnestly because I know myself. I ask God, Lord, please don't let me use this to draw attention to myself. See, my carnal man just loves recognition, attention, praise, and tell him, well, Brother McNamara, you don't look like you're 73. And really, I know what you're thinking. You look more like you're 87. But the truth is, my carnal man loves that. He just loves it. But my spiritual man hates it. And so I ask God not to let him use this to give too much attention. I still pray that, and I'll still continue to pray it. But I'll tell you how naive and dumb I was. When I started asking God for this, He's given it to me. I know He has. There's no question in my mind about it. I thought I'd have a problem with getting a lot of attention because of it. Do you know what? I've lost about 90% of the brethren in the ABA as my friends because as He's given me wisdom and understanding, they don't know what I'm talking about. And it breaks my heart, but I don't know what else to do. You have to make up your mind when you're a pastor. Do I want to feed the flock the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help me God. Or do I want to be a part of the crowd, popular, likable, somebody that all the brethren love? You have to make your choice. And now there I go again. Remember that moderation? I just didn't understand that I wouldn't have to worry about getting attention because the attention I get is negative. And so now sometimes I forget to ask God because I know that I'm not going to draw attention to myself with this. Well, ask yourself the question. How many times you ever heard that preached that way? How many times you ever heard it preached in a missionary Baptist church? How many times have you ever heard it preached that way by anybody? Now I'm drawing attention to myself. You know why? Most people don't want to do that. And a lot of people have come to this church, and they didn't want to change. They were looking for a church that had more of what they wanted to offer for the carnal man than for the spiritual man. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. What's he say? He's saying, you're supposed to rejoice in the Lord. You're supposed to let your attitude be such that you're satisfied, more than satisfied, even though other people are yourself. Don't think it's your just due. You think God ought to do better by you. I've known so many people that just say, well, why in the world did God let that happen to them? And they don't understand that moderation in a person's life means you accept the things that happen and you don't blame God and you keep right on praising His name. No matter what happens in your life, you keep right on praying. You keep on letting your requests known. And then you find an inner peace and satisfaction because you found a way of life that the peace of God keeps your mind and you continually go back to Him daily and you have a peace. Now he talks about things. Well, what are honest things? When I got saved and then baptized and then was called to preach at age 38, I had my own definition of what honest is. And I just worked it into my preaching as I understood it. I had my own idea of what pure things were. So I just worked that into Scripture, into my preaching. God let me live, and He lets all of us live. You'd be surprised how many missionary Baptist preachers He lets live that distort the truth, and I'm one of them. Whatsoever things are lovely, I had my own definition. Whatsoever things are of good report, what virtue was, praise, well, I had my own idea. Well, here we are. Age 38 to 73, and my understanding of what these things mean is completely different from what I once thought they meant. What about your idea about these things? What do you think they mean? Well, some people say, who cares? I would say that was the majority of people. But he says, think on these things. Well, how do you think on these things? Same epistle to the Philippians, Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I'll tell you, the answer to the question is in this book. So, Lord willing, if I find time this week, and I believe I will, Lord willing, I'm going to look up each one of these words. I'm going to try to be honest with myself and God. And I'm going to tell you what the Bible indicates each one of these things are. And we can look in our own hearts and our own lives. And we can ask ourselves, why didn't we know that? It was because we didn't think on those things. Do you know why most of your problems arise? Do you know why most of your complexity, most of your uncertainty, most of your anxiety arises? Because all you ever think about is your problem. That's all you ever think about. You have a problem with your children? That's all you ever think about. Have a problem with your wife? That's all you ever think about. You have a problem with the pastor? That's all you ever think about. You have a problem with this? You have a problem with that? You have a problem with your job? You have a problem with your car? You have a problem with your friends? That's all you ever think about. And instead of the problem being handled by God, you just sit there and worry and worry and worry and worry. What can I do? What can I do? How can I solve this problem? And your mind's in the wrong place. If you take time and think about these things that God has given you and understand what they are, you'll be rejoicing in the Lord and you won't be concentrating on your problem. Oh, I'm not trying to tell you. All you got to do is just think on these things all the time and all the anxiety go. I'm not telling you that. You don't pastor a church for 31 years and not have problems. You don't do that. God, I've lost, my God, I've lost, Lord, forgive me, I've lost count of how many problems I've had here. Some of them you never knew about. And do you know what happens? I get to thinking about that problem, trying to ask myself if I'm justified in what I do and think and believe, and trying to examine whether the other person is justified. And trying to think about what effects it's going to have on the church. What effects it's going to have on my ministry. And I just get so engrossed in the problem that the anxiety just wells up with me. Of course, you don't ever have that problem at work, do you, Shirley? No, never. You don't have a bunch of people. Or you don't have that problem at Summer Chevrolet, do you? No. We nobody ever has that problem, do they? Listen, what you need to do is just pray about it. Turn it over to the Lord and trust Him. And don't trust Him to work it out your way. He may. Trust Him to work it out the best way. You say, well, I try to do that all the time, and then I walk away and I say, okay, Lord, that's all in your hands. 15 minutes later, you're right back in the same problem. You say, well, how do I keep doing it? That's it. You just keep doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it. You say, well, I feel guilty because I can't leave it in His hand. Don't feel guilty. He understands that. You're trying to say, I'm not carnal. Are you trying to say, I'm not carnal at the same time that you've got this problem? No. And this has happened to me, only the Lord knows how many times. And finally, I'll just keep on doing that and 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 doing that. And He solves the problem. Faithfulness to God is to keep on doing it and keep on having faith in Him. He knows your frailties. He knows what you're like. And you'll never amount to a hill of beans in God's service if you don't do this. Thelma, Charlie, I am very disappointed in you two. Charlie, did you drive over here? I'm especially disappointed in you. I sang, they let me lead singing. And I sang 177, and the church sang it, when the mist have rolled away, and Thelma was not here. Now, that you're not supposed to rejoice in the Lord over that, Thelma. But I want you to start getting her over here, because I plan to sing that song more often. You see, that way, Thelma, you will become a better Christian because you'll be able to let everybody know your moderation and you won't kill me. Brother John Bales, would you dismiss us?